Welcome to Table Flipping. I'm actress Taylor Mishak.
And I'm writer Alyssa Littman. Join us as we sit down with guests to unpack how the fascinating, messy women of reality TV have shaped our lives.
And of course, dish about Bravo, The Bachelor, and everything in between.
Thanks for listening.
Happy Friday, Alyssa.
Happy Friday. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I had a cold this week, or what is currently known as thinking that you have COVID when you don't have COVID panic. I took 3 COVID tests, all neg. Thank you very much. But it feels very lame to have like a cold in August. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, so you took 3? Last time we talked that you had taken 2, and so you got a third one in there.
Yes, wow. Because I went immediately the first day that I was feeling really bad, and the big red flag for me was I was achy, and I'm normally not achy, but I guess now I'm just like old. Like, this is my first cold as like an adult. I don't know. But I was so achy, and I dragged myself to the same day testing and got both a rapid and a PCR. And that's what I had texted you. I was like, I'm getting 2 tests. And of course, I just like convinced myself that I had COVID, and I was so freaked out. And then both the rapid one that came back 30 minutes later was negative, and then the one that came back way later that night was also negative. But then the next morning, which was yesterday, I woke up feeling so bad. So I went to urgent care right away. And they just immediately upon seeing you give you a COVID test. They just that's like their protocol now. You like fill out a sheet while they're like swabbing your nose. And that one was negative too. So that like gave me peace of mind at least to kind of get 3 different resources. And the doctor was like, there is a cold going around, like a good old fashioned cold. And people are freaked out because it has so many similar symptoms. But yeah. But I'm a trooper. I'm on medication, and I watched a whole season of Survivor.
Wow.
I'm a better person for it. Yeah. Tony was like, if you want, I will gift you the opportunity to watch a season of Survivor while I'm at work. Cause normally we watch together, but that was great. And you know what else sucked though? Normally what I watch when I'm sick, and the reason he even brought up Survivor, it's so stupid. But when I got my tonsils out in high school, I watched every single episode of Say Yes to the Dress on TLC, like ever made. And so I have this like comfort in watching a very silly show about wedding dresses when I'm sick, but the TLC app like wouldn't let me watch Say Yes to the Dress, and I was miserable, which is stupid. But how do they?
That's so annoying. I also like I watch shows with Mike too, and it's gotten to the point where like every show we're watching is together, and I've had to put my foot down and being like, I am watching this Disneyland ride series behind the scenes by myself. And he was like so upset about it. And then he just went and like watched it on his own too. And he was like, yeah, that first episode is pretty bad, right? And then I was like, yes, but I am still continuing to watch it by myself.
Yeah, you've got to put your foot down.
That's you need funny. To watch some things on your own. You can't just hang all of your TV watching on when you guys are together. Then you'll never watch anything. That's why we can't freaking watch Dave on time, because we're never, you know, we got to watch it together. Anyway. Oh my gosh. By the way, I babysat Taylor's dog the other day, and he was very sad. Fredo was very sad when she left for a little bit. And so I was like, you know what we can do? We can put mom on the TV, and we put your episode on. And he was like, mom? Like, he like didn't know where it was coming from. It was very sweet.
That's
I think it calmed
so
him down.
He's such a cutie. He also wouldn't let you go to bed. He was like, okay, if Alyssa's going to bed, I'm going to bed as well. And you were like, no, but that's Fredo.
It was very sweet. He's a very good dog, very easy to babysit.
Sweet pup. Okay, should we get into this week of reality TV?
Yes. We finally got a good, like, juicy Bachelorette episode.
Yes, we've got a juicy, juicy Bachelorette episode. I took for granted how much it doesn't like affect me. And I watched it late Monday night, as I was like planning, I was like, I'll watch it and then I'll go to sleep and it'll be lovely. And then Greg got me so riled up. I was like steamed in bed. I was so mad. I was so angry. And Tony was like, you shouldn't be so angry. This is stupid. And I was like, oh, I know it's stupid. And I know that the reason it's stupid is because of Greg being stupid. And I was so mad. How did this make you feel, Alyssa?
I'm so shocked that people are like torn about this. Like, it's really, I mean, I feel like I'm being gaslit by Bachelor Nation, honestly. Like, I was so sure that he was the villain in this. I recognized so much of this behavior as like controlling boyfriend behavior. And it was like the first, you know, red flag. And thank God that it's like all on camera so she can go back and be like, oh yeah, that wasn't me being unreasonable. That was him being like, not a great guy. Sorry, Greg.
No.
And people are going hard for Greg. It's crazy.
It's nuts. I think that a big part of the misunderstanding and a lot of what the pro Gregers are arguing is the initial incident of like Katie not being an active enough listener to Greg pouring his heart out, which was the, let's say like night one. And you can have empathy for Greg's like perspective in that situation, sure. Right? You could be like, oh wow, I get how he would feel super self-conscious or sensitive about a sort of lacking response from Katie at this point. That's not the gaslighting part, people. Like, that's not it. And that has nothing to do, like, this coming back and using that and then a bunch of made up shit to throw this sort of thesis in her face that she hasn't been good enough to him and she doesn't deserve him from her behavior in the entire process. That's what's gaslighting her. And when she finally corners him into, I'm sorry, how can I make this up to you? I sincerely apologize for not making you feel heard in that moment. What can I do? He was like, it's not even about that. It's about you not even being Katie. Which is gibberish, which is language he's making up that has no meaning to anybody other than him, so that she's completely powerless and actually making him feel any better. And he can victimize himself and leave and blame the whole thing on her. How is anybody seeing that interaction as anything other than that? I'm confused.
It's also just like, I feel like people are giving him a total pass for like essentially wanting to delete the experience of the show, because to me it's very reasonable that like she's never been in this position before. She does, you know, she's getting pulled in a million different ways that we can't see. Like, she has a contract with ABC. There's producers trying to, you know, guide her for what they think the most entertaining show is, but they're probably representing it like this is the right way to handle this situation, you know, like she's being manipulated. And so it seemed like she had really decided, okay, the best way not to lead anyone on is to not say I love you to multiple people, because we've seen how that's blown up on The Bachelor. And I can totally understand how she was like inside, like very excited, but trying to be very careful about what she's promising to people at this stage. But she did say so many things that like if you see The Bachelorette say them, you know that that person is the person. Like, even just telling your family, like, hey, normal people can't promise anything to families. And she was like, hey, I can definitely tell you Greg is getting a rose. Like, and he was saying that we've talked about moving to New York together. Like, all of that stuff, I just have a hard time believing that, like, she was playing him and she was doing that with everybody. And he just... I don't know. I think a lot of people are saying like, oh, he wanted to be the Bachelor. He just didn't want to be with her. I really don't think that's what it is. I think he can't handle like not having control over someone he's dating. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It did seem like a little bit of a spiral over a genuine freak out at this stage of the game. Like, it did feel a little bit like that. Yeah. A lack of control. He did say it. There was parts he was like, I'm confused. That did seem real to me. He's like, I'm just so confused. But it's like, bro, you gotta calm down and release that control. Exactly. I also feel like if I'm in her shoes, like you're saying, there's all this pressure coming from producers that I'm sure is like, Greg is pretty much a front runner. This is getting pretty boring. Like, let's be careful about how front runner-y Greg is coming off. And you're also, she just had these like really breaking the fourth wall, breaking the rules, conversations with his family, and then to seconds later turn around and have a conversation with him, she might have just accidentally like overcorrected a little bit and policed herself too much with the language that she was using, because she was like, shit, I just like totally told the mom, basically, I want to marry her son. And so it's just, I got a sense in that conversation that Katie did see a little bit of like, that first night, it felt sort of like a tantrum when they were in the dark room having the conversation. And he was like, mm-hmm. I just don't get it. I appreciated that she, in that moment, felt pretty strong to me. She was like, we've talked about this. I don't understand why you're freaking out. Like she like stayed pretty level-headed and calm. And I wonder if there was a little bit of her being like, oh, I don't like this. Like, this is not something that I like. This freak out is not, I'm not into this. Because there's a difference between a guy you love freaking out and you're like, it's okay because I love him and he's freaking out, and a guy that you're into and then he starts to freak out and you're like, oh God, no, yeah. No.
I also kind of wonder, like, as you're saying that, if some of that had happened like behind the scenes and it just didn't make it on camera yet, you know, like I just really feel like, to me, this is such, I'm sorry to sound so dramatic. I feel like I call everyone a narcissist, but this is like textbook, like, I'm not getting what I want out of you, so I'm going to throw a fit and make you feel so bad and threaten to leave you so you beg me to stay. Like, that's what happened in my view. Mm-hmm. And so maybe she had seen some signs about that. Like, if she had had to calm him down like this before, maybe he was getting a little like, but it's me, right? So why are we still doing this? And I just personally feel like that's completely unfair to her, because we've just had a season of The Bachelorette. And look, I'm not the biggest fan of Katie. You guys know this. We didn't love this season. I just think, like, you know, we just had Claire Crowley like blow up an entire season, and we had Clayton like pick a girl before the end of the season. And I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on her to carry out the agreement that she had by signing up for this. And it's just like really unfair to characterize it as like, well, if she really loved him, then she would have just left and picked him. It's like, yeah, and if he really loved her, he would have respected what she was going through.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like let her do this the way she wanted to do it. But yeah. I guess also there's also a possibility that he like got freaked out that she was going to fuck two other guys next week. So I don't know.
True. Two things. I think a lot fewer people would have been on her side if Greg had been a girl and Katie had been a man. And I think there would have been a lot less empathy, honestly. A lot of more of the, I just don't think people would be on female Greg's side. Secondly, you accidentally called Colton Clayton.
Oh, Clayton.
Which is... Clayton?
What am I doing? I don't know. I'm just like terrible with The Bachelorette and The Bachelor contestants' names.
Clayton is the name of the bad guy in Tarzan. And Tarzan has to learn how to say, and he goes, Clayton, when he hears gunshots.
Wow.
Have you seen Tarzan?
I have seen Tarzan, but like, I don't ever think about Tarzan. So it's good to know that you do.
It seems like you do, Alyssa. It seems like you do.
Are you talking about the Phil Collins, like, Disney Tarzan? Or are you talking about a different Tarzan? Oh, my God.
No.
Son of man. Yes. Of course I've seen it. We could sing the whole soundtrack right now if we wanted to, honestly.
One time Tony hadn't seen it, and we were on a long flight somewhere, and I was like, oh, my God, we should watch Tarzan if you haven't seen Tarzan. So then we're watching Tarzan, like, sharing a little laptop. And, of course, the end happens, which, spoiler alert, super sad. And I'm like sobbing on the plane. And then I look over at Tony and he's a fucking sleep.
Oh,
and then
no.
He wakes up at the credits, like the Phil Collins song is back on. I'm like drowning in my tears on a plane, like trying to be quiet. And he's like, oh, I missed the end. I'm just going to rewind it. And I had to watch the end of Tarzan again, just back to back, and just cry on top of my tears. It was awful. And I've never forgiven him for it. Oh, it's brutal.
We used to rent the Tarzan like PlayStation video game from Blockbuster. The game was like, you would like surf on tree vines for coins and like swing through the air.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
That sounds vaguely familiar to me. I think I remember seeing that like advertisement. because I didn't play video games.
Oh yeah, it's very sad. I feel like you missed out, but that's okay. You're catching up. I remember way more about Tarzan than I do about the Bachelor's names. So
clearly.
but you know what I mean. I don't know. There's like some things in here that I'm like, okay, I understand how that could drive a person crazy, but I'm really seeing like a lot of my ex-boyfriends in this guy. So
we can all agree that it is one of the more interesting like feuds or breakups in a while. I will say that. I was really surprised by it. I went from being like, don't really care about Katie's journey to like taking a bullet for Katie. I was like, don't talk to her like that. I was so upset. Yeah. I will say in terms of an episode, wowee. And I wonder too if there was I'm suspicious of a deadly combination of producer meddling and genuine Greg self-generating his own freak out. Because if I'm the producers, I'm looking at this from the outside is thinking it's going to be like a pretty boring season because it's so obviously Greg. So the like setting up Greg so he sees the date with Blake and asking Greg leading questions to make him feel more self-conscious. If that's sort of like poking the bear and they didn't realize that Greg was indeed a bear who was about to blow up sort of led to this kind of big crazy fight. I don't know. That's just me fantasizing about the unreal season of this in my head.
No,
the
behind I mean,
the scenes
I,
drama.
There's just like absolutely no way that he saw that date on accident. You know, like there's just not like nothing is an accident. The only thing that's ever an accident is like, for example, if they had been filming from a certain angle and then you saw Greg like very out of focus in the background, or he like so clearly like walked through a scene by mistake, maybe I would be like, okay, I guess they got their wires crossed about this like weird desert hotel. But the fact that it's like, I mean, it's a fully set up like balcony shot with a straight shot to Blake and Katie like making out in some, you know, whatever. So I do think there was heavy manipulation. But I also think that he is just not a good guy.
Yeah, not a good dude. I've been saying this before this even happened, that I like resented how much attention he was getting because I just didn't like it. I hate everything about the fact that he is an actor because I've already complained about that enough. I hate that people act like he's such a dreamboat and he's just cute, okay?
He's like fine. That's he's it. Like totally
he's
fine.
Fine. Yeah. And now I know because of all of this, he's still going to be able to get his dick wet no matter what after this. That makes me so mad. Oh, and I sent you a Dumois post about it. Did you see it? Some girl was like, no, he dated my best friend and absolutely destroyed her. He is a mental abuser. He is no good. Bad, bad news. And he has openly been trying to get on this show for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I recognize. So when you sent me that, I was like, am I wrong about this? Like, maybe I'm bringing too much of my own baggage to this situation. And when I read that he was like making this girl, I mean, they didn't name him, but it's obviously him, making this girl feel bad about wearing a sundress. Like, I just remember one of my boyfriends who was like this, like, I was wearing a totally normal dress and he got mad at me because I was wearing a thong under it instead of like bigger underwear where like if my dress had blown up that like someone would have seen more of my butt. And like, he was really like, you want people to see that. Like, it was psychotic. And that is the type of behavior that I recognize in this person. Or he would get mad at me for like painting my nails red because it was like too vampy. And I was like, what's going on in this relationship? Like, it's that, I mean, that's like an extreme, but I'm like, this is that kind of guy who's like low key, like sweet and nice and like not very like assertive. And then behind the scenes, he's like, what are you doing, you whore? And you're like, oh my God, what's happening?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't like Blake sexualizing maple syrup, but I feel like everyone has talked about that. And it's like, you know, it's impractical and not funny. Two of my least favorite things.
No, I did love, and everybody on Twitter was freaking out with Blake's sister, like busting his balls about this. Which I didn't expect, because when Blake first walked into the family room with everybody there, they all just seemed like little Canadian, like clones of Blake. And I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be an aggressively annoying scene. But then the sister with their one-on-one was like, so, okay, first it was Claire and then it was Tayshia. And now I guess it's this girl. Is this the one again? Is that what, is that what's happening? And I was like, yes, bitch, I love that. So at least that was funny. And then when it comes to Justin, I'm just like not going to hear anything negative about it. Like I'm just like case closed. He's cute. He's darling. He's so yeah. hot. He did nothing wrong in
his
my eyes.
His poor parents didn't even show up. This poor guy.
I'm shocked that doesn't happen more often. And I also think it's so, so funny that it happened for the guy who is obviously not in the running whatsoever. Like it would have been sort of interesting if it was somebody like Blake, right? And like, of course, if it was somebody like Greg, but it's so, so funny to me that even Justin's parents were like, you're in the top. No, we're not coming. I'm not going to go to Arizona for this.
There is a pandemic. Like she's not choosing you. And he's like, no, I'm really in the running. And they're like, no, that we are professionals who respect ourselves. We will not be appearing on
We're
TV,
not
which honestly fair.
There. Just have a couple of friends come. Okay. Have fun, sweetie. I thought that was so funny. Oh man. But I also saw the writing on the wall when those two dates were so short and there was so much left in the episode. I was like, hold up, what's happening here? But that's my two cents on Justin. He is chef's kiss. And Justin eating crabs, that's like my sexy shellfish dream. I love it.
Wow.
Oh man. Well, I'm very excited to see what happens at the finale. We're going to cover it. And then we're also going to go on Trust the Bachelor process and get to talk about it with Sarah, which is going to be fun because I feel like I scream a lot on that pod, which is great. Just like this one.
Yeah.
Let's dive into our weekly dissertation on Erica Jayne with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, we didn't get this last week, so I was really like, you get to a point with the Housewives where you're like, this shit better start moving forward. Like this better not be repetitive. I was like very burned by Lucy, Juicy, Apple, Goosey, whatever that dog's name is. But this is like, now I'm fully like, Erica's a criminal. Like, she can't even keep her own story straight.
No, and she's crumbling. Like, and it's scary. I loved all the comparisons this week online between Garcelle and Eileen from the freak out over her son like a few years ago, where you're just like, oh, I had no clue that was going to set you off, like without warning in the middle of a conversation, she implodes. And the only difference is this time the stakes are very, very, very high because it seems as though she's realizing she's said too much on camera and is having a panic attack. And that is something I have not seen in a while ever.
Yeah. Like a literal panic attack. Like I have panic attacks. And when I hear people hyperventilating because of them, it makes me scared that I'm going to have a panic attack. And I like was watching that like, oh God, she really fucked up her legal defense, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's unpack this because even if you're not watching, it's so interesting. Obviously, I feel like everyone has to know who listens to this podcast that she's being investigated for fraud because Tom Girardi stole money from his legal victims who had been through like horrible injustices at the hands of corporations and what have you. And he just never gave the settlements to the victims. And then now Erica is, you know, he's claiming that he has dementia and so he can't really be tried for this. And Erica is like fully supporting that in this episode. She's like, he got into a car crash with a head injury. His personality completely changed. And when you have a head injury, when something's wrong with your brain, like you do things you would never normally do. And I'm like, holy shit. She's just straight up defending him. Like that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like that's what we're watching.
Yeah. And I feel like if they are talking every day, or let's even take her side and let's say she's hearing his voicemails every day, this is a bug in her ear and something that she is consumed with, right? Like she is, it seems like there's like a lot of guilt and a lot of responsibility that she still has to him. Like she still owes him this, which in and of itself is an admission of guilt to me. Because as I've said before on the pod, if this guy really did fuck you over the way that she's claiming he did at the beginning of the season, this is not somebody that you're helping his defense, even if it is true. Even if he was suffering from dementia and his whole body is deteriorating, I wouldn't say fucking peep on my show. I would be all about figuring out my own shit, right? So like this,
yeah,
this whole thing sort of admits that there is some loyalty there. And is the loyalty because you guys did this shit together? Is it because you found out about it at some point and you promised to help him? And or is there an I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, in terms of you guys are helping each other's defense and there's just like a teamwork aspect happening in terms of trying to get out of it? It's just clear that there is still such a team happening. There's a team that exists, and so she is cracking.
To me, there were three like big deal, egregious things in this episode. The first one was Garcelle asked her, did you have a heads up about this? Is this why you got divorced? And she says, no. And she was like, I'm not a lawyer. So like how, you know, I don't know about any of this. And whoever she was talking to, I think it was Garcelle or Renat, was like, oh, well, that's good. Right. And she's like, it's very good. Then later in the episode, she turns around and says that the lawyers are calling her crying, saying we have to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can't say you're so removed from his oh my God, law agency? Is that what law it is? Law firm? Oh my God, I'm a law fucking firm. Idiot today.
Wow. No, you're just in the industry, honey. It's an agency.
It reminds me of when people watch sports and they're like, okay, so is it the finale? And we're like, yeah. It's the championship. Yeah, that's, I guess, me with a legal firm. So I just don't buy that you can be like, I had no idea that there was a problem with his law firm, but also his lawyers were calling me crying. Like, that doesn't make sense. And then the second thing is that she said, is this thing that she said, which is, the last we heard about this is like, he's washing his hands of me. He's like, you want to leave, you're on your own, you're dead to me. And now she's saying like, he calls me every day, which is so strange. And there's a third thing that I forgot as I was talking, but maybe I'll remember it.
Well, no, clearly so many things. I also love that you pointed out the crying lawyer phone call, because I wrote that down too. Listen, Tom Girardi is not the first old white guy in an extremely powerful position, whether it's in a publicly traded or a private company or anything of the sort, that has started to lose grip with reality and hasn't wanted to change his position of power, right? There's systems in place in companies of every size and of every nature for this type of protocol, for this exact instance. When the head of a law firm is starting to get delusional, it's not like the lawyers are like, what do we do? And they start crying and calling his wife. There are steps, there are boards, there's people with voting power, there's people who are going to take you out, and there's an entire protocol that exists. That's not how business works, Erica, and we're not fucking dumb. And certainly nobody in court, in a room full of lawyers and people who work in the judicial system, are going to buy that, like, oh no, this is all just crumbling because nobody knew what to do about Tom. There's systems in place for that, and they work. Like, this is crazy. It's so insane to think that that his colleagues would call you crying. Yeah, right. Like, maybe if someone was calling you as a friend, if someone was like, I hate to see this happen to my mentor, to my boss. Like, I wanted to reach out to you, see if you're okay. But to be like, what do we do? Yeah, fucking right, Erica. I'm not a fucking idiot. And none of the people that you're arguing this to are going to be. And I think it's an instance of her like not – seems like she's just talking too much. Like, you got to be like, girl, slow down. And don't answer every single question. God love her for doing it. I love all the questions that Garcelle is asking. But I was shocked that Erica is just answering them rapid fire. Because look where it got her. fucking tangled in a web of lies.
You also have to think that, like, I think he has family members that work at his law firm. And you have to think that they think of Erica as, like, a waste of money. You know, like, yeah. I'm not to be an asshole, but that's just how people with that much money are. And they're not going to come to her and be like, we really love you being involved in, like, the will.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that level of respect. You would hope it would be there for somebody if it was, you know, seemed like a legitimate marriage for a very long time. And if someone was worried about their well-being, you would really, really hope. But yeah, as a gambling woman, I'm not, like, odds are people in that situation do not respect Erica or not reaching out to Erica. Exactly.
So let's unpack this, like, Rinna Instagram post. This is very confusing. Yeah. So essentially Erica, like, flew off the handle because she thought Garcelle was, like, trying to have a moment out of telling the group that Tom calls Erica every day. And Rinna posted, like, I wish you guys would have seen Erica scream at production, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you understand? And then there's, like, some discrepancy about, I went back and watched that scene where she originally told Crystal and Garcelle that Tom calls her every day. And there's no footage of her, like, saying it. It's obviously them walking through the desert with the audio over it as if all three of them are having a conversation. So I don't understand, like, what happened here. Do you get it?
My theory, because I also watched at least the beginning of the Watch What Happens Live afterwards, and I read a couple more of the Instagram stories, because this was my whole afternoon while I was sick. I was so soft. I sent you, like, 50 things. Is that audio did happen while she thought they were off camera. Right. But I still think she was, like, in character. I don't think that was a total slip up, but then once they got into the car, Erica said, that's not something that I want to be talking about though. Like she realized that it was still somewhat on the record, and Garcelle was still getting into the car and supposedly didn't hear Erica say this. It didn't hear Erica's sort of announcement to both production and Garcelle and Crystal. I don't want to talk about that anymore. And so the betrayal is even less with Garcelle and more with production, because I'm under the impression that Erica yelled at production because she's like, you knew very well what I said in the car, and you turned around and told Garcelle to bring this up.
So
she yelled at Garcelle for doing it, but then she recognized that Garcelle did have some, plausible deniability, mm-hmm. and knew that it was the production because she knew very well that they heard her. So I think that's what Rinna is alluding to, that production set her up to talk about it again on camera this time. And that also would explain what and Crystal says on Watch What Happens Live, like, Garcelle, honest to goodness, like, didn't hear it. So I think Garcelle just got caught up in, like, not fucking knowing that she was even being totally used. She had to know a little bit if she was prompted by production, but I imagine they're prompted by production all the time in, like, very silly ways that are, you know, not an issue. You try, if they're just like, hey, can you bring up this thing about what, like, that's got to happen. But that's my understanding of the fight. That's my theory.
That's so interesting. And it's like such a misstep for her to freak out like that. Like, if she had just been, if Garcelle told the group that and she was like, I know, it's really hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to have someone you spent this much of your life with calling you every day and not be able to speak with them. It really messes with your mind. But I'm glad I'm not talking to him because he might have done something way worse than I could have ever imagined. And we move on. And it would have been fine. But, like, instead, she just freaks the fuck out. And now we're all like, oh, this is a ruse and you weren't supposed to say that, you know?
But think about, like, you, like, the scenario that you just painted is you in that one moment covering up a lie. Right. And you're like, oh, it's just as easy as this, Erica. Here you go. Like, that moment of her covering up a lie is every single moment of her life for the last, like, 4 months in this on this day. You know, like, so you're just going to, you are going to slip up every once in a while because, just statistically speaking, your brain can't be operating at that level of deceit 100% of the time and always be successful. It seems so, it seems like such a major slip up. And we're watching this being like, no, but she's, I don't know how I would be able to stay sane and keep a story straight when so many people I'm talking to Like, and what kind of, she has to be playing a completely different character for her lawyers. Like, yeah. Based on who she's talking to, the amount of code switching is so crazy. Like, I completely agree. This was such a huge misstep, but I totally see how it happened. She's unraveling.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And also, yeah, it just seems like she did, you know, I don't know, man. It's, I guess you can't understand like what it's like to be under that kind of pressure until you are. Like, legal battles are really stressful, but it just seems like if you didn't do anything, then you wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. More and more of these slip ups, I'm like, bitch, you're a bad person. I hate it. I hate to say it.
But I did really enjoy hearing, first of all, Sutton seems like she's about to be a star on this show. Like, she is like, I'm very rich and I know when rich people do bad things and I don't want to be around Erica, which is a very interesting perspective to see. I really enjoyed her talking about the forensics team.
Oh, like, yeah, I loved that.
She was like, that's like Turks and Caicos money. And I was like, oh my God, this is so dirty. These people are so rich. It's so crazy. And then Kathy Hilton and Erica having the most unlikable conversation ever, being like, I travel the world a lot and I don't remember where all my houses are. Like, can you imagine?
Insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah, that was not a good look. I've been told that we have a house in La Quinta, and Sutton being like, you buy things, sometimes you don't know about them. I didn't know that I had two minor league baseball teams until my divorce. So now I pay attention to that stuff. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's insane. I cannot imagine being that rich and not having those conversations. Do you even see your husband? Like, no. It's so bonkers. I cannot imagine. I would be so mad. I'd be like, you did research, you spent enough time, you cared enough to buy a minor league baseball team. You then liked it so much, you went and bought another one.
Two.
And never in that time did you turn to your wife and go, do you know what's actually a hobby of mine? Minor league baseball teams. You never went to any game. Like, how does that not come up? How does that not come up? Do you guys just not speak to each other ever? I would be like so confused and betrayed. Yeah, these people are so fucking rich. And it is, I mean, this is some of the hardcore, juicy Real Housewives stuff that I love, though. You know, this is like back in the first few seasons of Beverly Hills, where it was just a competition to see who had the most fuck you money. It's so like, you know, what's her face's clear fridge to me. How am I forgetting her name?
Oh, Yolanda.
Yolanda. It's like Yolanda's fucking fridge. You know, it's just like, it's excess. And it's just so fun to watch, even when it is incredibly unlikable.
It's so funny because they're getting mixed in with, like, I think the new version of Housewives is like, it's fake rich people who are about to be taken down by the FBI, which is what we're kind of seeing with Erica. But then it's like, there are actually really like psychotically rich women on this show. And watching like Kathy and Erica like comfort each other about like not having any idea how to use the bank is like so funny.
I don't know how to use a bank. I like, is it Garcelle that was like, girl, you have to be able to do these things for yourself. Like, you've just, that you should never reach. And then of course, Kathy Hilton steps in and is like, it's okay, I don't. And she goes, Erica, just give yourself some time. And I'm like, that's horrible advice. So she needs more time not knowing how to go to a bank, how to like write a check. Like, that's not good advice. Do not turn to Kathy Hilton in this time unless you're asking for a free room in a hotel. Like, that is just no good.
By the way, Garcelle is like also psychotically rich. She's been a very famous actress for so long. She was married to like a partner at CAA. Like, if she knows how to use the bank, and like, it just tells you what level of wealth you have to get to not know how to use the bank anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm blown away. Just blown away.
So funny. What a fun episode.
I loved it. And I wanted you to know, if we were ever out and on a trip and you called and asked me for straws and chia seeds, I would do my best, but probably still just bring you back a straw.
You would definitely find a way, though. You're very good at that kind of
stuff. I would try.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Potomac? Because I got a kick out of a couple things this week.
Yes, tell me.
First of all, my favorite thing about our new housewife, Mia, is that she has no fucking clue what she's saying at any time. I love when a housewife yeah. just inserts words into sentences thinking that they're smart. Like, she'll be like, well, this word is a pretty long version of sort of the word I'm looking for. My favorite example is when she's apologizing for like her tone when she's talking to Wendy. And she goes, I will try with my deliverance to be better, but I will not be stipulated and dictated and to be explicitly told what to do. And it is, so I watched it like 3 times. It's so good. I will try with my deliverance to be better is just hilarious. And you're talking to Wendy, who has like more degrees than anybody in the world. But I love the confidence of just making shit up and like inserting big words. And then when your back is against the wall going, how many businesses do you have? Because you own a lot of chiropractic franchises, which is also the weirdest, funniest thing. I don't know. I'm just getting like a big kick out of her. I think that she's so silly. I don't know how long she's going to last in this group. I don't think she's like really, really clicking, but I am at the comedy, I think, is pretty great. And then I yeah. also had a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
So you write a feature that you love. Let's say I'm involved. We write a feature that we love. We're both really excited about it. We're pitching it and there seems to be no bites. And then we finally get a bite from like a really big financier.
Oh, no. Okay, the answer is yes.
Michael Darby. Michael Darby wants to make our movie.
The answer what you is doing? We cannot sign a contract fast enough. Okay. That the answer is I don't even care if we're implicated in fraud or if we owe money back to investors. We are going to hang out with Michael Darby on set and have him scream at us about the script just oh to my get, God. I just want to hear his notes. Like that's all, you know.
I hate his, like, I just want to get into the movie business. It's like, gross. Gross, dude. What do you mean? It's also so disgusting to just see a fucking old white dude be like, I actually have so much money. I think I'm going to go ahead and make movies. It's like, no, God, no. And even Ashley's like, what the fuck, man? Like, that's like a thing. You would have to be at least somewhat creative. You have to have so many different relationships. Like, can you just like not? And he's like, wow, what a bitch. And it's like, I can't.
She's like 10 months and like 3 weeks pregnant. Like, he's like, okay, I'm going to tell my wife who's like literally like overdue and is about to like birth our baby on my stupid fucking stone and glass like centerpiece in my apartment that I'm going to start giving our money away to finance movies, which like, yeah, don't worry about it. COVID has totally made all movies profitable. They definitely screen in theaters after you spend a bunch of money on them. It's like, can you literally imagine if your husband said that to you right as you're about to have a baby? I'd be like, do you know how much this thing is going to cost that's coming out of me? Like, fuck off.
It's also so crazy that they go to a restaurant with their baby bag and just like order chicken lollipops and like wait for her water to break. Like, that feels like such a weird thing to do. But yeah, I would absolutely lose my mind. I would lose my freaking mind. And yeah, it's so reasonable for her to be like, can we, are you serious, dude? And then he's like, but it's my dream. It's like, no, it's not. You're just weird and want to bring something up. It's bizarre. Bizarre.
I don't know what the normal thing to do is when you're that pregnant. I know that there's like a salad in LA. Have you heard this? There's a salad in LA that you're supposed to eat if you're like way past your due date and you want to like initiate the birth. Have you heard of that?
No.
Oh my God. It's like
salad?
Yeah, I think it's like an 80s like folklore thing that my parents know about. And I think it's like an industry thing too. I've heard people talk about it. So there's this one restaurant that's like very famous for like inducing pregnant women who are past their due date. And I don't know what it is about it, but like people come in and order the salad all the time.
Ew.
Yeah.
That makes me not want to go to that restaurant, though. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. This is funny because my good friend Jenna is checking into the hospital today to have her baby.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations, Jenna.
So no salad or nothing, just right on the clock. And just you just go and you check in, you make an appointment, and then you pop out a baby.
Wow.
Which is exciting.
I know.
So cute. Well, hopefully her child will be able to pass their driver's license test, unlike Giselle's daughter.
And it's the written test too. Like, come on. I get maybe not passing one written test, but not passing like the written test, like four or five. It seems so brutal. And I felt so bad for her that it's like, I remember I didn't pass my first written exam and I was so embarrassed. I didn't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having to go on national TV and not pass it for like the fourth time and making a big scene about it is awful. And they all thought she was joking when she first like told them she failed. It was so sad. Kicking her while also, she's down.
Having your mom, who is Giselle, be like, okay, better luck next time. Like rolling her eyes. Like, what's wrong with my kid? Like, she's a fucking idiot. Like,
I would not cast Giselle as my mom in that moment. No. For sure.
No, absolutely not. Should we talk about Roan? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you like Fireball?
Oh, I love Fireball.
Okay, great. Interesting.
Do you like it?
I hate it. It was one of the first things I threw up to, so I just like can't have it anymore. So the obsession with Fireball amongst this cast always like makes my stomach rumble.
I think if you have a bad experience with it, it's like it's a real roulette. You know, there's these drinks that you start drinking when you're too young and you're not really supposed to be drinking and you don't know how to drink. And whatever one you have makes you vomit first is the one you'll never have again for the rest of your life. So, that's totally understandable.
It's like a Hogwarts house. It's just a matter of which one. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Roni real quick. I have cashed checks for 7 cents. From SAG for my residual. So the idea of Sonia losing a check for $2,000 because it's an insult made me vomit in my mouth.
I will say that while I do hear you, I do feel like you're on Gaurav's side now, which is a little problematic. I do think that the best, most delightful use for people like Ramona Singer is when you're friends with them and they're going to come in and scream at someone in a business sense about how they're ripping you off. Like, that was very enjoyable for me to see Ramona be like, no, you can't push me around because I have no human feelings and I'm going to call you out for taking $60,000 out of money that was supposed to be fucking Sonia's, okay? Yeah. Like, show us the books. Like, them just screaming, show us the books. So good.
Show us the books. No, loved the scene. I know there's clearly some wrongdoing from, like, taking advantage of this woman who is being loopy about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you gotta, bring in Ramona. But also, when Ramona's off duty, like, Sonia, you gotta figure this shit out. You gotta be on top of it, especially when there seems to be a lot of financial fires around her. And now I'm going, girl, cash your checks your checks and ask for the books from everybody and like really budget and look at shit. I don't know, but it was definitely a pretty classic. It was a good Ramona scene too, after several bad Ramona scenes. I'll give her that as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely does, because the red flag to me is him being like, okay, we'll give you like the tax, documents. And it's like, but by the time you file your taxes, you've already written off every single possible expense so that you don't show a profit. Like, that's the point of being a rich person who does taxes with a business. So like, that's so fucking shady that you would even say that to her on camera. Rob is the next house, so I have to get investigated, I think.
I was a little bit like, this guy, it's insane that he even agreed to be on camera in this context.
Yeah.
Like, this is a full Erica Jane moment he's having. Like, bro, don't go on camera. You're clearly scamming this woman. Do not. Don't. How funny also is Sonia lying about hooking up with that guy?
God, why is she doing that?
I don't know. I wonder, I mean, because it was going to have to come back up, like, at the reunion. Like, this guy could have easily posted something that's like, no, I didn't. She was making a real meal out of it. It would be more believable to me or more understandable to me if she was like, been just like making sly jokes about it. But to be so overt and to bring it up several times is like, why? What's the point, Sonia? You're going to get caught. And you did.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know. Maybe she just feels like, that's where her value comes. It's very confusing to me. I'm like, why would you blatantly lie about something that's so easily disproved? Like that, yeah. They have a video of you. Like that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Yeah, she was drunk and silly and wanted a funny story, I guess.
Also, we got Leah's brother. Do you think he's cute? What do you think of him?
Yeah, I think he's cute. He seems like pretty more normal than both of the girls, I'll tell you that. She was like, he's my mom's favorite. And I was like, well, he seems like just like an easier pill to swallow. That's my impression of him.
No.
He seems more mellow and like just not as much of a character. I love Leah, and I think her sister is also good TV, but they're like kooky kids for sure. So he seemed a little bit more normal. Like
they would really run you ragged as they have their mom, you know. Yeah. When you look at her, she's pretty ragged. Also so much Judaism on this season, and it's like making me uncomfortable. I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that Ebony's boyfriend was like, I have to marry someone who's Jewish and I don't even want you to convert. That feels very problematic to me. And I think she was very gracious in being like, I think he didn't realize like what he really wanted at the end of the day. So, you know, I'm not in their relationship, but flag on the play for me. And then
I think it's scary that it looks like Ramona's straight up coming for the Jews next week. I almost texted you that. I watched Roni in the middle of the day and I almost texted you it while you were working, being like, yo, Ramona is straight up coming for the Jews. And I was like, if I text her that out of context, she's going to be so distracted. So I'll just let her watch it in her own time. But her being like, I was bullied by the Jewish kids. I'm like, I'm not here for this. I am really not.
The good news is like, I feel like all Jews have so much practice in like anti-Semitism conversations. So I feel like whoever is Jewish on the show next week, they'll be totally fine. They can take Ramona. She's an idiot. But yeah, and then I'm also like, I don't know, this whole Leah converting to Orthodox Judaism, it scares me. So I hope everything's okay. And I hope it's like a more modern version of Orthodox Judaism. But, you know, she seems to be getting a kick out of it, and she's a strong lady, so hopefully it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be good for her, we hope.
I don't know. We'll see.
I have to go do ADR for episode 10 of Dave, because they're still working on episode 10 of Dave. Dave Bird is putting in like 23-hour days at this point. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We should not have released the episodes this early. I will say that. So I feel very bad for him. If anybody out there is enjoying Dave, please send nice thoughts to Dave Bird, because I don't know how he'll survive. But this was wonderful. What a gift this week. Gave us so many juicy things. And we have a very exciting episode for next week that I'll just tease exactly like that. I won't even tell you the deets, but we'll be posting about it on Instagram, and we'll have a lot to talk about next week.
Oh, wow. I truly was just going to say what it is. It's a thing.
No!
And I feel like I'm gonna tease one thing. I think we're going to have some pictures.
Yeah, we'll have good pictures.
So everyone, if you don't follow us on Instagram, please go follow Table Flipping Podcast. You're going to want to see what the fuck we're doing next week.
Because it's fierce as fuck.
It's pretty cool. Bye. It's way cooler than anything I've ever done. Okay.